Welcome to the Health Unfiltered podcast. I'm Dr. Rogelio Realzola, a PhD in health, exercise, and sports science, a strength coach with over a decade of experience in personal, collegiate, and professional settings, and a sports scientist whose main goal is to use testing and data to maximize your health and performance.
And I'm Brooke West, holistic registered dietitian, practicing the perfect combination of a functional nutrition, science-based root cause approach, and hippie magic, with areas of expertise in women's health and hormones, gut health, and micronutrient balance.
We believe that health is multifaceted, but not as complicated as others make it seem. Our mission is to share what works and what's BS in the health industry, all while having a good time doing it.
Expect us to share everything from new research to tried and true health philosophies to alternative health therapies and the occasional controversial topic. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Health Unfiltered podcast. My name is Ro, and I am by myself because this is a snack time episode. It's a little life update. Yeah, we are grinding through, almost done with spring training. If you can see in the video, I'm still here living in a hotel. Almost out. Got about, I think, a week and a half, depending on when this airs. And I'm just excited to be home, to be home in my house and have a bit of a more normal schedule, as normal as you can be in professional baseball. But one of the things I was thinking about the other night is, you know, I got my bed made or room clean, I guess is a better way of saying it. And you know how hotels, they just like, they make the bed, it's great. And maybe you do this at your own house, I don't know. But they put the bed sheets and like every sheet tucked under the mattress. And so every night, it's just a fight to get it. I don't know about you, but I don't love, actually, it's not that I don't love it. I hate it. I hate having the covers tucked under. I'd feel like I'm encased in some weird bed I don't want to be in. I don't know. It's just not comfortable with me. I like being able to have the cover like wrapped underneath my foot or underneath my feet or just be able to kick it out because I get hot sometimes. I don't know. I'm a hot body definitely when I sleep. But that was my hotel thought of the night, of the day, of the podcast, I guess. But yeah, so almost out of here. Excited to be able to, you know, kind of smell the outdoors a little more. There are no windows in hotels, probably rightfully so. I am on the 9th floor. And yeah, some stuff can happen on the 9th floor. And I didn't get lucky enough to get a balcony, but my marina or bay view is like, it's beautiful, so can't complain. Anyway, almost out, very excited, still chugging along. But what I wanted to talk about in this snack time episode was about some of, you know, I've always had a interest in physiology. Obviously, it's what I got my PhD in, and blood work, especially because my, I guess, focus in recovery has always been on like blood biomarkers and some of the stuff that it's harder to see, you know, on the outside. But if you have access to these blood works and blood panels, they can give you so much information, if not just tell you that things are just fine or things are terrible. And sorry, I feel like I'm looking at myself in the camera and I got like a lazy eye this morning. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's always that way, but who knows? Try not to pay attention to it, even though I just called it out. But along with this, you know, I started thinking about kind of all of the risks that come with living life and the things that can, I guess, affect the chances of you having things like a heart attack or a stroke or cardiovascular disease in general. And a lot of why we put out this information is so that you can live your healthiest life without it feeling super limiting, so that you also get to enjoy your life, right? Because I do believe that you have to actually enjoy it. So this episode, I want to talk about very briefly about the 9 modifiable things that you can control to make sure that you keep punting your first heart attack or the way in which you die down the road, because unfortunately, and I guess fortunately, depending on how you look at it, we all die, right? Depending on how and when, I think is a lot more in our control than we'd like to think. But at the same time, if you walk out of your house and get hit by a car, right, you can't really control that. The universe is going to do what the universe is going to do. But when it comes to those things that we can control, like I do want to talk about those things, because I think they're important. And I think it's good that we continue to have these conversations because they are painful. And more people I think around us, and especially as I get older, are either getting cancer, dying of cancer, getting heart attacks, dying of heart attacks, or, you know, especially in my family, getting Alzheimer's or dementia. And it seems like these things are happening earlier and earlier, and they are, right? One of the things is you are noticing probably just because you are older. And so your friends and families and their friends and family are getting older. And so the degrees of separation start to decrease. But as well, like, we are just unhealthier as a society, and the way we're attacking things is probably not the best, but it's also like such a huge problem that it's very difficult to figure out how to do that on a good scale. So I want to kind of talk about maybe why these events are happening earlier and earlier, and how this is for sure attributable to rising rates of obesity, of diabetes, and of inactivity, and obviously like the food we eat and everything as well, but definitely a lot of the actions that we can take, or at least a lot of things that we control, or at the very least things that we should pay some mind to. So when you look at all the data of what is the number one killer, you know, I think it's still like car accidents, but CVD, cancer, and dementia like are climbing, and they are going to become the leading killers of Americans and probably the world, because a lot of the world is overfat, overweight, mildly obese, depending on how you want to look at what numbers and things. But all of these things are leading to CVD, cancer, and dementia, one, appearing, and then two, appearing quicker. And there's a lot to be said about the genetic component. Like, you can't pick who your parents are. You can't pick where they came from, where you came from down the line. And so that shouldn't be downplayed. But these are also things that are occurring from living in an inflamed state over time, right? You don't just wake up for the most part and just like, you know, have a heart attack. It's a long time buildup of atherosclerosis, of other things that may be, you know, maybe negatively impacting you. But these are decisions that we're making over long periods of time that eventually lead to, or potentially lead to, things like the heart attacks, the cancers, and then losing your ability to think and function. But this inflamed state like really comes from all of the things we always talk about: high lipids, high blood sugar, alcoholism, or drinking alcohol consistently, right? The amount of damage that does to your liver, one, and then two, like just your body in general, like it is poison. Love a good drink, love having a good time. But you are, you know, trading today for tomorrow, and sometimes it's okay, and sometimes you probably shouldn't be doing that. But these all lead to, over time, this inflamed state, or at least carries that inflamed state. So, you know, that's why these things are occurring quicker, right? Like if you have like a, we'll say terrible, and I'm air quoting terrible, 20s, where you, I mean, just like drank and partied and didn't sleep, which sounds like a lot like what most of our early 20s are, especially if you grew up going to college in the States and you know, kind of lived that culture. It kind of speeds up our chances of, you know, having those bad things happen to us. And that's not to say that it's a guarantee or that we can't like push back on it, right? Because you are also probably your healthiest self, like your most virile self in your early 20s, in your 20s. So you can absolutely do work to make sure that you are not just being like, well, I messed up my life in my 20s and now like I'm dying at 40 or 50. There's a lot of things that we can do. So all I'm trying to do really is stretch out the time at which these things are going to happen, because they are going to happen. Like I said, we're going to die. But if we can kind of talk about, or at least start to think about all the choices that we're making so that these bad things happen further down the road, right? Instead of like in your 50s, 60s, 70s, like I'll take a heart attack at 89 or 90, you know, like that's better than having it beforehand. But yeah, I think we like to try to point to one thing causing all these bad things to happen. And one, it's our choices. Absolutely. Two, it's definitely the eating of processed foods. You can definitely say it's like the addition of some of the chemicals in our food. you can point to some of the water quality issues we have. But, you know, again, those are like choices. And sometimes you can pick the less chemically altered food. You can eat less processed food. If you are really into, you know, having cleaner water, like you can get a filter. You can buy water that's not in plastic, or at least better water in plastic. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do. But all of these things over time, they're compounding and they're increasing the risk and shortening the time that it happens. And so as you make these choices and as you kind of have a family, and I don't know, the first thing about raising kids, right? I have two cats that one is pissed that we got a second one and is spraying all over the place. And we don't know how to deal with it, right? It's very difficult for me to sit here and be like, oh, like you can choose whether your kid has diabetes or not, because I truly believe that you can, right? You can get them to eat healthy, to be active, to be conscious. You can teach them. But I also, you know, can't discredit the fact that you may be working 18-hour days and the food is limited, and so their only availability to food is you know, these processed cheaper foods, and you are also not making as much money as you can. Like, there's a lot of other things that I can't speak to your life, but I can say that a kid that has diabetes has a way higher risk of dying earlier than someone who gets it later in life, right? It's just, again, getting those things to happen sooner as we make these choices. This is not like a fear-mongering episode. That's the last thing I want it to do, but I want you to kind of like take an audit of where your life and where your health is, because I've been doing this. I think that I do this fairly well. Probably sometimes freak myself out a little bit. But there are resources out there that can help to calculate like the risk. And there's one specifically called the Q risk calculator that I'll put in the show notes, but it calculates a person's risk of developing a heart attack or stroke over the next 10 years. And it should not be, you know, we shouldn't glance over the fact that this is a, like, it's a risk stratification. It's the chances. This, you could be at like 95% you're going to get a stroke in the next 10 years. 10 years could go by, you haven't had a stroke. Wow. Crazy, right? There are a lot of things that can change over that time, that can change how that affects it. But it's a good resource. It's based on a UK population. But I would argue that the US is either the same or less healthy. So the risk stratifications are applicable in my mind. But it asks for a couple different things. And let me just take a quick drink of water. So it asks about age, sex, ethnicity, and then it does ask for more clinical information. So one, do you smoke? Two, do you have diabetes? three, was there a heart attack in a first degree relative under 60? So like your parents, your siblings, things like that. Do you have chronic kidney disease? Do you have atrial fibrillation? So really, are there issues with your heart already? Do you get migraines? Is a pretty big one. And then if you have rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, and those are, you know, autoimmune diseases, so that would just increase your chances. Do you have a severe mental illness? So something like schizophrenia, bipolar, or moderate to severe depression? Are you on atypical antipsychotic medications? Because if you are, right, then that's just a, and I may be wrong, but it's a less severe form of the mental illnesses, or it could be helping with those. Are you on a steroid for your health, right? We're not talking, are you on roids? Because that is going to increase your chances of having a heart attack. And then do you have erectile dysfunction medicine? Because that speaks to an imbalance of your sex hormones and maybe your ability to pump blood to the right places. And then the other things, touch on what I talked about earlier with blood work, is information that you get from blood work, as well as just visiting the doctor. So one, go get blood work. You absolutely should do it, especially if it's part of your physicals. But it'll ask for your cholesterol to HDL ratio. It'll ask for your systolic blood pressure, and then your two most recent systolic blood pressure readings. It actually asks for the standard deviation, but it's just the best way to, an easier way of kind of swallowing what that means. And then finally, BMI. You know, again, we talk about BMI being what it is, but from a risk stratification at a global or population scale, I think it's very telling. It's another great way to look at risk. but like I said, this is a UK-based calculator, and given the population, like, it's white, right? If you are of a different descent, there are probably more accurate calculators out there, but I don't think that, you know, you would put in all this information that's saying like, wow, you have a 75% risk, that if you were Black, Latino, Asian American, like from a different descent, that it would drop it to like 35, right? I could be wrong, but I don't think that's how statistics work. But it's just something to kind of just get in to a maybe a more granular result. So you can go find those if you aren't white or UK based, to kind of just fit a maybe a more appropriate population. But regardless, it's a great resource. You can play around with it, right? I would probably not just sit by you and your friends and be like, yeah, let's see what our risk is if we're going to die in the next 10 years or have some traumatic cardiovascular event. But I say all this to say that there, kind of going back to the original point, is that there are things that we can change or things that we can affect so that our risk is decreased. So there's a resource that came out in 2020 by Lopez et al's book chapter. And it talked about 9 modifiable factors that can dramatically decrease or increase, right, depending on how you're looking at it, your risk of CVD. And we're talking about these 9 things make up 90% of the risk of you having your first heart attack. Sooner, right? Obviously sooner, and then to what effect? Because you can have a, we'll say, quote unquote, light heart attack, still a heart attack, still going to affect, like, change your life. But, right, if you have a big heart attack sooner, that is not what we want. But these 9 things that we can absolutely change, or at least keep an open mind about and actively make good decisions. One is smoking. Duh, right? It's 2024. Why are we still smoking cigarettes? And, you know, I think that there's a lot of, you know, we'll say controversy coming out with like marijuana and blah, 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 but like smoke is smoke, right? Endothelial function is affected by smoke. And, you know, saying that like, oh yeah, like, well, I like actually smoke. You want to talk about vaping, whatever, blah, 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 different story. But I actually smoke, weed as opposed to cigarettes, like still smoke, still an issue. Dyslipidemia. So if you have high triglycerides and high blood sugar, right, over time, that means that your body is working overtime to try and regulate this. And it's going to pump out more insulin. It's going to pump out more of whatever it needs. And if you don't fix this, right, then you are putting your body into a state of just overworking. Hypertension. So if your heart rate or your blood pressure is high all the time, more pressure, it's just going to be harder on your hearts, on your heart and on the blood vessels, just your system overall. If you have diabetes, right? So this kind of leads to that dyslipidemia or comes from that. So if you have dyslipidemia for a long time, generally that can lead to diabetes. And so like you really want to make sure that even if you do have high triglycerides and high blood sugar right now and you're pre-diabetic, that you get that down before you get diabetes, because when you do, that risk increases dramatically. Your abdominal obesity. So it, where the fat around your organs, around your midsection is, like if that's where you hold majority of your fat, like we're going to have issues because of the visceral fat surrounding your organs. And you know, we want to get into the metabolic kind of issues that come with that specifically, but the easiest way to think about it is you are suffocating your organs in your heart and your lungs, making it harder to work and live. Psychosocial factors. So if you live a very stressed out life, work a very stressful job, these things are going to make you more inflamed is the best way to look at it. I guess the easiest way to explain it. And that is not something that we want. So we want to decrease that. Or if you just keep compounding stress, like that factor goes up, you become more unhealthy. The chances of you dying earlier increase. Your consumption of fruits and vegetables, huge, right? We need fiber. We need all the good that comes with greens. We need all the nutrient-dense goodies that come with fruits and vegetables. So yeah, make sure it's a colorful plate. I love steak and potatoes more than the next guy, but really try to have a salad a day. Really try to have a cup, a bowl of fruits a day. A little easier just because I get two meals at work and they provide this stuff, but it's something that I think I have to make a conscious effort of doing outside of work. Regular alcohol consumption, because you are literally poisoning yourself for a good time. And, you know, that's not, it's not a great thing to do over a span of, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, especially if you are doing it consistently. And then the big one that I harp on, because I do think that exercise can help regulate a lot of these things, is physical inactivity, which speaks for itself because, you know, at least when you're doing hard things or exercising or walking, you are pulling energy to be utilized. So it helps to regulate some of these things depending on how much damage you are doing. And so when you boil it down, like this is what Brooke and I talk about. This is what Health Unfiltered is. You are going to die. It just is what it is. I don't want to live forever anyway. You are going to have periods of stress. You are going to have periods of malnutrition, of physical activity or physical inactivity. For bad reasons, right? Either some traumatic thing happens, you don't feel like doing your normal things, fine, like that's okay. But you are also going to have these times for good reasons, right? Vacations, celebrations, just living life. Maybe you just started a new business and you're like, you know what? Like right now, I'm so hyped to do the thing, to create this baby. I just haven't thought about lifting or exercising. Like that's okay, right? All of these things are okay as long as they're not done consistently. The important part in what we try to preach is the balance, right? Finding those anchors or those pillars of our health, of things that like we have to keep doing in order to be able to consistently perform, consistently show up for ourselves, and show up for the people that we need to show up for. So this balance is like, you know, me not saying you have to be sober, never smoke. If you're not hitting daily exercise recommendations, you're going to die. Like, but it is saying, you know, do you need six drinks every time you're out? Are you okay with two? every time you go out, do you have to drink or is it only once in a while? Or even like Brooke, like, can you just be completely sober? Like, what is alcohol really doing for you in those moments? For the activity, is there really no time for you to be active in the least bit? Well, do you work at a place that has stairs and an elevator? Okay, maybe you take the stairs, right? And maybe not up and down, but maybe down, right? So at least it's extra steps and it's not as hard. Can you park far away when you are at the grocery store or anywhere just to squeeze out those extra moments where you can get a couple extra 40, 50 steps? You that are, you know, 10 times a day, that's an extra 400 to 500 steps. It's really great because that's better than the zero that you had before. And then, you know, like the high triglycerides and the high fats, like, do you always have to eat meals high in fats and high in sugars? Like, you know, there are times where having a donut and ice cream and like splurging to your heart's content is like absolutely necessary. You earned it, or even if you didn't earn it, but it's there, do it, right? One of those times is not going to kill you. But if you find that, like, yeah, after every meal, I have to have ice cream and or a donut or a non-diet Coke or non-diet pop, you know, there are little things, or a beer, right? There are little things that you can change in order to make sure that we are just balancing that out. Because every time we do that, we decrease our chances of having that heart attack faster, and then also that heart attack not being as big. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of, one, tell you that if you've never heard it, two, remind you of that if you have heard it, and three, like, you know, invite you to make an audit of your life, see where these modalities or where these modifiable risks you can make things better are, what maybe isn't appropriate for right now. Like, if you are super stressed out, you have to make ends meet. Yeah, now is not the time to maybe like throw away, you know, all these goals so that you can exercise. But maybe dealing with that stress means drinking less or having less chips or whatever it may be. And, you know, going back to how you can decrease your chances of having these terrible cardiovascular disease events happening earlier in your life. Because we really like having you around. I like having my friends. I like having my family around so that I can talk to them. I hope that they feel the same way about me. But I make a lot of jokes that I don't want to be here for most times. But I do want to live a long and healthy life and, you know, be able to soak it all in. And I want you all to do that as well, because I like to live through your stories and I like to see how you're doing. And I get excited when you're excited and I get sad when you're sad. And I can only do those things if you are alive, right? So yeah, I hope that this snack time episode was a nice, maybe not nice, but a good way to kind of think about those nine things that we can change that are going to decrease 90% of our chances of having a heart attack earlier. And if you have any questions on this or any questions on how you can make small changes, if you want to fight me on this stuff, like, send me a DM. You can do it either through Health Unfiltered Pod or through at ROI Health. And then if you have my number, right, you can text me. But yeah, just some of those things that I think that we can all do a little better on, so that we can continue living. So I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you for listening. Go eat a fruit or something. Make yourself feel quote unquote healthy, or maybe hashtag healthy. But take the extra steps, get some extra snacks in, and always, always eat your snacks. All right. Peace out, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Health Unfiltered podcast. Make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform, rate the podcast, and share this episode.
Connect with me, Dr. Alzola, on Instagram at ROI Health. For more details on all things sports and human performance coaching, visit getroihealth.com.
You can find me, Brooke West, on Instagram at westnutrition.co. For all the ways we can work together on nutrition and holistic health, visit westnutrition.co.
And don't forget to send us your epic questions of the week on Instagram at healthunfilteredpod. Catch you next time.